fourths. And years ago, everybody would ask me, said, why is Richard so small and you're so big? And I said, before Richard could ever get seconds, I was having 23rds. But you know, it's there for you if you want it. Amen. Let's sing this song, Word of God Ever True, as Brother Luis comes tonight. Amen.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the Word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. This world, where'er we roam, the Word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the Word of God impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound.
Praise the Lord. Let's give a clap of praise to God. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful thing to have the Word of God in the hour that we're living in. Amen. You know, I always think about how many people died
for that Word. Many, you know, there's some documentaries that I watch with regards to how the Bible progressed throughout time and the sacrifice that people made. Yep. Everything okay?
This is way too hot. Oh, right there.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. I was always taught to do this. And where your thumb lands, that's where you put it. But we got good systems here. So.
So, praise the Lord. But, you know, the people that have fought for this word
throughout time, amen? And to think that sometimes we don't give it the importance that, right. that we should, right. amen? Makes me feel ashamed at times, but right. we just thank the Lord that we have his word in the hour that we're living in, for we need it. Yeah. And we're not just to have it in written form, amen, but to have it to live through you, amen? Right. A life word lived, a word lived. That's the most important thing, because it doesn't matter if the word is on pages, you know, but if it's not being lived, then it's not producing anything. But a word of a word that is being lived, then it's giving life out to others as well. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated for just a moment. I just want to, just one, and there's no waters in there. No. Is there waters in there, Brother Man? Yeah, there's no waters in there. There's one here. There's one here. So. All right. I wanted to update you all here. First of all, this is Brother Paco
Several of you know Brother Paco, Brother Aaron, Brother Wade, and Brother Paco. This is him and his wife. His wife, they went on a trip just a couple of weeks ago to Spain to meet some family. He's from Honduras. He is one of the he's a minister, and also one of the best interpreters there in Honduras as well. He speaks both languages, and also wonderful missionary. Goes into some very, you know, remote areas. But him and his wife went to Spain, and a couple of weeks ago, and his wife was just not feeling well, and she ended up, just to make a long story short, she had several blockages in her heart while there in Spain, and that she had to be hospitalized for. So they were able to take the blockages out. A lot of people have been praying for her. Just wanted to give the update that she's doing much fine. I believe they're still in Spain because she's still being monitored by the doctors there. But I just ask that you all just continue to remember her in prayer, continue to remember Brother Paco in prayer as well. Her name is Sister Suyapa. And just the devil's been attacking her health here for the past several months. Even the last time when we were there, the devil, just as soon as we left, the devil attacked her health. And so, but I believe, and he believes that the doctors, the surgeries that she had went through fine, and she's going to go back to Honduras like a brand new woman, he says. So we're just thankful for the doctors. The work that the Lord did through the doctors. Amen. Also, I just wanted to also give you an update with regards to Brother Eric's mom, Brother Eric Gallo, in Honduras. His mom is doing much fine. If you remember, she got shot. They shot her about two times, if I'm not mistaken. And one of those shots was actually supposed to hit her in her heart. When she opened the door, the front door, and the man was out there calling for her name, or calling, saying, "Is anybody there? Is anybody home?" She thought it was somebody that was going to pick up their laundry because they have a little laundry business. And when she got to the door, the man shot. And by the grace of God, one of those bullets was, according to the doctors, when they opened her up, that bullet, the trajectory that it took, it was supposed to hit her in her heart. But some way, somehow, it stopped, and it went down and hit her in her liver. And if it would have hit her in her heart, you know, obviously, you know, we don't know how that would have turned out. But right now she has one bullet right here in her clavicle, still in there, and the other one is still in her liver. So the doctors didn't want to operate on her to take them out because they thought that she was going to bleed too much, and so they're going to wait it out for a while. But she's in good spirits. We've spoken to her. My wife has spoken to her. I've spoken to her husband, and of course we stay in touch with Brother Eric all the time. Brother Wade, I know you do, and so. She's in very good spirits, and so you just continue to pray for them. Amen. And just wanted to give you that update if you didn't already know. I know a lot of people have been praying for her. Her name is Sister Nidia as well, so just continue to remember Sister Nidia in prayer. Amen. All right, well, let's stand back up to our feet. If you want to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and let's go to... let's go to the verse 20. Let's see. Verse 27.
Would you be able to work with this tonight? Because we're getting pops and cracks in that.
Yeah.
Just turn.
I was actually thinking about taking one of these. And I was like, well.
Take it. We need it.
No.
Or using one.
Testing. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for the opportunity that you give us to open back the pages of your word, Lord.
We ask you, Father God, that you would just have your way here tonight. And Lord, speak to your people, Lord God. And Lord, let me get aside, Father God. And you just speak, Father God, exactly what your people need to hear. Not necessarily what I want to say to them, Lord, but what you want to say to them. Because you know each and every one of their individual needs, Lord God. I don't, but I'm so glad, Father, that you knew them before the foundation of the world, Lord. And so, Father God, you know exactly how your word can go in and minister to those needs. Grant it, Lord Jesus, we commit the rest of the service into your hands. And we ask, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 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 You forgive me this week. I've been down with a cold, so just forgive me if I sound a little hoarse. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Consider the lilies." And I don't know if you can read that, though, but it says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things." Aren't you thankful that he knows? Yeah, I'm thankful that he knows, and we don't have to be guessing. Amen. He knows our needs. Watch what it says here. "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." All right. So he says, don't worry about these things, these external things. You're going to be provided for. That's not an issue for God. Amen. But the issue is for us to seek the kingdom of God. Because that's why he's telling us, you know. He's telling us, seek ye the kingdom of God. Because that's difficult for each one of us to do, is to stay seeking that kingdom and stay put and not waver from seeking that kingdom. Amen. And then he says, because if you do that, all these things shall be added unto you. "Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So he wants to give you the kingdom, right? All right. But the thing is that he wants to give it to you. It's yours. It's kind of like the children of Israel. The land was theirs. It was given to them. Even when God gave the promise to Abraham, the land is yours. You're going to go to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. I've already given you. No matter how many enemies are there waiting, no matter how many Havites, Hittites, or whatever ites are there, that land is yours. Amen. Amen. Right? So no matter how many obstacles are in your life, no matter what problems are arising in your life, the kingdom is yours. Amen. But then he still asks you to seek for it. Right? It's yours, but seek. Amen. Correct? "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." All right? And then we can just go ahead and have your seats with that. Amen. All right. So, let's... All right. So I want to talk this evening about the hidden kingdom in plain view. Amen. Or if you could say, the hidden kingdom is here. Amen. Praise God. I don't believe the kingdom is coming. I believe the kingdom is here in his people. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. Amen. Because this kingdom is a silent kingdom, and it's a hidden kingdom. You know, we live in a world today where everyone is seeking and looking at material things or things that they can see on the outside. But in reality, what you don't see is truly what is powerful in the kingdom of God. Right? What you don't see or what is invisible really is what has power. Because remember, when Jesus started, nobody knew that was the Messiah.
when Jesus came here on earth. He came so humble. He came so meek. He came so gentle in such a way. Nobody would ever thought that would be the kingdom of God standing amongst them. But it was. And it came with the power that the Bible had already prophesied that it was supposed to come with. Amen. So I felt led this evening. I was going to continue our thought with the attribute within the believer, but I just felt going this way tonight. So we'll just go this way. I'm terrible at starting series and then I not finish them, and so I've already done that like two or three times in the past year, and I got things I want to go back to, and it's. But it's just by the time you get to preach again, you're interested in something else again. So, but anyways, so we'll just go this route this time. I spoke about this already a few other times, but we have some people here that were not here during that time, and I thought I'd maybe snazz it up a little bit more and add a little bit more to it and just see how the Lord leads. Amen. But, you know, the kingdom of God being, it's a foundational doctrine within the scriptures. Amen. Sometimes we think that the kingdom of God is something physical or is something, you know, when I was in the Baptist church or when I was in the denominational church, I always thought that the kingdom of God was made up of buildings and of people and streets and cities. And honestly, before it actually goes to that direction, it needs to start lowly first inside of you. Amen. So the phrase the kingdom of God is it started to be used in the time of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist came, and it was used interchangeably within the phrases. You would hear it a lot within the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom. Amen. And so every time you hear these phrases, it's speaking of the same thing. Praise God. When you think the kingdom of God or when you see the kingdom of God, think of a person. Don't think of a physical thing. Don't think of it. It will become a physical thing, but think person. That's what God is, right? The kingdom of God is in you, the Bible says. Amen. So think something spiritual first before you actually think it's something physical. And so we read in Matthew chapter 3 in verse 1 and 2, it says that in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We also read in Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, it's interesting that John the Baptist was saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then the kingdom came. But now Jesus, who is the kingdom, is now saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because this kingdom is eternal. There's no ending to this kingdom. The kingdom is actually growing and growing and growing. That's why Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But it's coming in a greater way. You see me standing here in the flesh, but I will give you a comforter. Amen. And the kingdom will expand not just in just one member body, but it eventually would expand in a multi-membered body. Amen. And that kingdom, amen, is going to keep growing and expanding, but in a silent way. You know, the world has no clue, has no idea that a kingdom is growing within their system. My. They got their kingdoms, they're building up they got their presidents, they have their leaders, they have their popes, they have their magistrates, they have all these things, amen, but a kingdom is growing right under their noses. Satan is trying to build his kingdom while God is trying to build his kingdom as well. And in God's mind, it's already built. Praise the Lord Jesus. In God's mind, it's done and said. Satan is just continually trying and trying and trying to do his thing. And he will accomplish because why? He will fulfill the word of God. So he's going to accomplish what the word says about his kingdom. But I'm so glad that in God's eyes, our kingdom, this kingdom of God, amen, there'll be no, it can't perish, it can't fall.
It can't falter. There is no sin in it. There is no unbelief in it. There is nothing. There's no destruction. It can never be destroyed. Oh, my. I'm so thankful for that. Praise the Lord. So if you look up this word, this phrase, the kingdom of God, it means, if you go back and look at the meaning, it's a kingdom or a territory. It's used in the New Testament to refer to the rule of the Messiah. But watch what it says. It says it's a royal power, a kingship, a dominion to rule, not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. So the right and the rule to rule over a kingdom, you usually don't see that right. It's something that's not seen. You just see it manifested when it's ruling. Amen. And that's what God is trying to grow. Amen. It's that right or that rule. I'm so glad that God's given us the right. He's made us to be the sons and daughters of God. Amen. Amen. To them that believe, praise the Lord. So we have a kingdom to rule. Amen. And before we can rule a physical kingdom or a kingdom here in this world, you have to make sure that you rule your own kingdom. And that's tough. It's tough to rule your kingdom, your own domain, your own mind. Right? Because what did Brother Branham preach that message? The battle, the greatest battle ever fought was in the mind. To have to conquer thoughts and ideas and issues and temptations and your own thinking and your own opinions about things and that try to overrule the word of God. That's the kingdom of Satan trying to take over the kingdom of God in your life. Amen. So that's what we have to do. Now, we know that Pilate, he had the kingdom standing right in front of him. When Jesus was standing in front of him, the kingdom was standing in front of him, and he felt threatened by that kingdom, right? So Pilate looked for a political threat of this world, and we can read that in John 18:36. The Jews, what they were expecting a miracle worker or some political leader to come and seize the physical power of the Romans at that time. Oh my, isn't that just the same today? Everybody is looking for a Messiah. Everyone is looking for a hero in the day that we're living in. And they'll get their hero. Amen. It just won't be the way they people think that it's going to come. They'll get their hero. Amen. But I'm so glad that the bride of Christ has her hero. He spread his arms a long time ago on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And he flew as well. He didn't need a cape. He didn't need anything like that. He said, all power given unto me both in heaven and earth. And he ascended up to heaven. And then we are also going to be flying like him. Amen. And caught up and meet him in the air. Praise God. Amen. But the political systems of this world and the religious systems of this world, they have no hopes in that. See, they think that we talk about fairy tales. You talk about Disney and things like that. They think we're just fairy tales, and that the word of God is just a bunch of fairy tales. But my goodness, where the head goes, the body has to go as well. Praise the Lord. And so their kingdom is going to end. It can't fly. We'll fly in just the thought of a moment. You say, I want to be in Honduras. You can be in Honduras just like that. Oh, you might say, that's just fairy tales. But to me, it's real. Because otherwise, the world wouldn't be making those types of movies and things like that. Because they know that there's a desire in them to do that. Somebody's going to do it, though. Amen. Praise God. And so even the disciples, they even sought the immediate territorial restoration for Israel. They were also looking for a kingdom. You know, they were Jews. And then when Jesus came, They always, and we'll read it here in just a moment, but they would ask him, is the kingdom going to come? Or, you know, they had that mentality that it had to come through a political process, right? And nothing comes that way. Nothing that comes by God comes through a political process. I'm sorry to tell you. You've been fooled for the past several years if you think that a man is going to win everybody and everything. And you have been fooled, because that's not how the kingdom of God is established. The kingdom of God is spiritual. Amen. And if it's not established in the hearts first, then it's not going to blossom on the outside. It's got to be established on the heart first. And if the people's hearts are looking for something physical, amen, then they're not looking for something spiritual. Right? And you have to stay put and look at the things that are unseen. Amen. That's what's going to matter in the end. So Jesus didn't come to establish a physical kingdom. Right? We read here in John chapter 6, verse 14, it says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. See, they saw Jesus and the things he was doing. This is him. But when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Jesus could have taken that position. There was no, he could have easily went ahead and received it, because for one, he was God, and he had all the attention he needed, right? But he wasn't here to fulfill that. That wasn't time for that yet, amen. And so the Jews, they were looking for a physical kingdom when the Messiah appeared in Luke 19. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because the people thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, right? Because it seemed like that was the right thing to do at the moment. But feelings are just so deceptive, right? Sometimes the way we feel about things sometimes. Usually the way you feel about something at the moment is probably the wrong feeling. Usually the way you feel like saying something at the moment is probably the wrong thing to say. Yeah. And so we don't go by our feelings, amen. We stop, we think, and we say, is this in line with the word of God or not? Before I say it, or before I do it, before I speak it, amen. Is this in line with the kingdom? Amen. Because I want to be in line with the kingdom of God, amen. See, and so Jesus could have went ahead and did that, went ahead and given what the people wanted, but that wasn't the time for that. Amen? And so the disciples, again, were also looking for physical kingdom. We read in here in Acts chapter 1, when they therefore were come together, they asked for him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were looking for something physical. They were looking for something that would just stump out the Romans and would restore everything, the Mosaic way of doing things. And that's not what Jesus had come for. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times. This is Jesus speaking. Not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, watch what he tells them, but. Oh, I love those buts. But God. But ye shall receive power. Oh my, you're looking for something physical, amen, but let me tell you about this power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, all right? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world. I think that got cut off there. That was, they ask him about a kingdom, but this is what he tells them. He tells them about the true kingdom. Amen. Right. Amen. Amen. Oh my, you know, so many times we think that you know, we're looking for something and we think that that's the right thing that we need to be looking for. that that's the way we should go, and that's the direction that we need to take, when God has something else planned for you. And it's not, and it's most of the times, it's the Lord, I didn't want it that way. That's not how I want it. And, but yet, that's the best thing in order to establish the kingdom in you. That's the best thing for you to establish. The disciples wanted it, so they just thought, oh my, he's going to come and just completely annihilate, you know, the Romans and take out all the Caesars and all the Pontius Pilates and everybody out. Just kick him out of the city, and then he'll just go up there and sit in the temple. And that, in their mind, that's how they thought it was. But it wasn't that way. It was a better way. It was a better way, a humble way. And then, of course, Jesus standing before Pilate. Jesus answered, in John 18, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. So why are we looking for political processes to give us spiritual redemption? They can't happen. Nothing political can ever bring the kingdom of God. Nothing. Do not be bamboozled by political processes to try to revival and all these types of things. You're going to be fooled. You head into the mark of the beast if you go that route. This is the kingdom. That is apostasy. That is fake. Amen. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. Period. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? I would have people fighting for me. But he didn't have anybody fighting for him at that time. As a matter of fact, the disciples scattered. They left him because the kingdom just didn't match the way they thought that it should be. Right? Oh, my servants would fight, he said, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Right? Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Now can you imagine Pilate, you know, you being Pilate and standing, him having the power that he had, representing Rome, representing his kingdom, right? And standing in front of the kingdom of God, the creator of the whole world, the creator of Pilate himself, right there standing before him, and he's asking that kingdom, he's asking him, so are you a king then? My, the opportunity that Pilate missed. I wonder if sometimes if we don't miss the opportunity in that way. When Christ has made himself so plain to us in the hour that we're living in, and yet we don't want to go the route that he's given us. We want to go our own ways. We want to go our own paths. Amen. And the kingdom has been shown to us. Amen. Clear, plain, and simple. But yet we think there's a better way. There's a better Caesar in Rome. Right? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. That was the point of what Jesus was. Jesus was here to fulfill the word. He wasn't here to become a president or become a king or become a, he is the King of Kings. Amen. He don't need to become one. He is. Amen. Everyone that is of the truth. Now watch the way it's worded there. He said this. Everyone that is of the truth. In other words, everyone that God had in that eternal back part of his mind. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone that is of the truth. And I put in parentheses kingdom. Amen. We'll hear his voice. Amen. We'll fulfill, amen, what he saw of you before the foundation of the world. You were predestinated before the foundation of the world to come and fulfill your part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. Because not everybody is going to be able to take part of the kingdom. There's many people that will hear the word and will not understand the word. Many people that hear and listen and the word has come across their lives, and yet they don't give it as much importance to sit and hear and listen and pay attention like you did. What caused that? What did that? Amen. God keeping over his thoughts before the foundation of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So the kingdom of God is not a place on a map. Amen. But it's authority. At the same, it's not a place on the map, but yet it's authority. Amen. It is royal power, kingship, and dominion. It's not to be confused with an actual realm, physical realm. Amen. Now, again, the kingdom is not seen physically. In Luke chapter 17, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation.'" This is Jesus answering. He told them, he said, they were asking about the kingdom. He said, "Look, the kingdom of God comes, but you don't know anything about it. You don't know that is here, but yet it is." Amen. Now remember, this is heading to the kingdom of God personally to you, to a new birth. You know, I had somebody ask me this week, and said, "How do I know I have the Holy Ghost?" And I said, to be quite honest with you, most of the time we don't really know. We can't really pinpoint a day and a time when we got the Holy Ghost. Most of the time, if we do pinpoint a day and a time, it's usually because you had a sensation or you had some sort of feeling or some thought. But in reality, you have to keep walking in the Word. This is a continual walk in the kingdom of God. This is not pinpointing it on just a certain day or a certain hour. That certain day, that certain hour, maybe you cried. Or you had a sensation, or the Holy Ghost came upon you maybe on the spirit realm or on the flesh. But Jesus said that if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. It's what he said. So this is a continual walk, and the Bible talks about being born again, right? Being born again. In other words, this is continual. This is a refilling. Then I'm a little low, but I get refilled back up again by the Word of God on Sunday again. Then maybe by Wednesday I'm a little low again, amen. But by Wednesday again I'm being refilled, being born again, amen. Praise God. Until one day, eventually, amen, you are walking into a body change, amen. And you don't know how it happened. You don't know where it came from or how it started. But you know it started. And eventually, amen, you're walking into a body change. Oh, my goodness. Now, that's the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said the kingdom of God comes with no observation. You can't observe it. There's nothing physical that you can pinpoint and say, that's the kingdom. It's weird because in our mind, we don't think about kingdoms that way. We think about the Chinese dynasty and the Egyptian dynasty and all those dynasties of the kingdoms of the past. And we see their physical things that they did and they built up. And you know, a lot of them are half rotten, half fallen off now. Lets you know it's not an eternal kingdom. But and we think that's kingdom. But what God thinks about kingdom is something very lowly, very invisible. Nobody would know. Nobody would think that the kingdom of God is driving a chicken truck at 3 a.m. in the morning. Nobody. Everybody maybe that's passing by on 985 or wherever Brother Ryan drives, they don't think that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God drives a chicken truck. The kingdom of God drives a chicken truck. That's the simplicity of the kingdom. Amen. Right? The kingdom of God, amen, is up here playing the drums, and, you know, he hardly says a word, but he plays drums really well. The kingdom of God plays drums and he doesn't speak much. That's the kingdom of God. But the world wants to show you that the kingdom is something with fireworks and something explosive and some and an emperor coming out and the red carpet and the and that's more of a sign that it's not the kingdom. So if you see that, you better run away. That is not the kingdom of God. Amen. Let me get a swig of water here first. Are you enjoying the word tonight? Praise God. And Jesus says, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. Lo, it's here and it's in this city, or lo, it's there in that place, or in this building, or in this country. No. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Amen. Within you. Oh my. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's powerful. Amen. And that was Jesus' own words. Amen. Amen. That wasn't a Pharisee that said that, or Peter that said that. Amen. But that was Jesus' own words. All right. So the cog. What is the cog? The kingdom of God. All right. The cog is not material, but within you. Look what Brother Branham says here in the message, the Smyrnian Church Age. He says, the Laodicean age is one of vast wealth, where often the criterion of spirituality is an abundance of earthly goods. That's the age that we're living in now. The age of, if you have more, then that some way, somehow, that makes you better than somebody else. But that's just you ordering from Amazon more than me. Amen. You know, that has nothing to do with that. I'm going to be honest with you. I like studying, you know, millionaires, and I like looking at people who really have money and things like that. And true millionaires, true people who have wealth, don't flaunt it. They don't even, you wouldn't even think one minute that the person living next to you is a millionaire. But when you see flaunt, and when you see people, you know, shy with maybe fake Coach bags or anything like, you know, you know, or things like that, and when they're trying to flaunt it and things like that, you, more than likely they probably don't own much. Right. Now, it's not to say that if you have nice things, that doesn't mean that you, if you have money or, you know, that you don't need to have nice things and that you shouldn't have a nice car or things like that. That has nothing to do with that, right? Right? Because if you can afford getting the best, then get the best, right? But that's not your measure of spiritual wealth, right? So the Laodicean age is one of vast wealth, where often the criterion of spirituality is an abundance of goods. But how poor in spirit... How poor in spirit. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Right? The kingdom of God, watch what he says here. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Right? And this is, he's quoting a scripture. It is not material. It is within us. A rich man is rich in God. Right? A true spiritual rich man, he's rich in God. Not in worldly things. Amen? So that kingdom within, it's the kingdom of God, amen, and that's where the spiritual riches really lie, amen. And again, if it's that way in the spiritual where you don't know, oftentimes you don't know. And it's somebody who truly has riches, most of the time, like I was saying, you know, most people who truly are wealthy, you wouldn't even know that they are. Because they drive common cars, you just wouldn't know. A lot of them end up being cheapskates, but there's a balance. And I think also because, you know, a lot of maybe some of them grew up and they grew up maybe in hard times, and scarcity is probably still in their mind. And so if they come to this certain point, you know, they don't even want to spend anything. But, you know, there should be a balance. Amen. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Amen. Brother Branham continues to say, God's kingdom is not of this earth. Amen. God's kingdom is in our hearts. It's the spiritual kingdom that we're born into it. Right? Jesus said, the kingdom of God comes, but not without violence. And the kingdom of God is within you. The Holy Spirit. What? Then now he's equating the kingdom of God to the Holy Spirit, God's kingdom moving in the man and governing and controlling him. That's the kingdom. Amen. That's the kingdom. Praise God. I'm so glad we have a control tower in this hour. Now, the kingdom of God is also power. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power, because the word killeth, but the spirit gives life. In Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power, and that word power is the word dunamis, and it's where we get the word dynamite from, right? And dynamite is explosive, and dynamite causes, it's a huge reaction that causes other reactions, right? But he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. So the kingdom of God is power for the believer, right? So when you have the Holy Ghost and you have that kingdom is reigning in you, you have power over all power of the enemy. Amen. When the kingdom of when Satan is trying to infiltrate your mind with his kingdom, let him know, amen, that I have power over all power of the enemy. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And then Brother Branham says in the message one is, what is the kingdom of God? It's within you. The kingdom is in you. And when the word comes in there, what does this word begin? It turns itself into power. Now, is it very interesting that he mentions it, he says it that way? Because remember, we are being washed by the water of the word. As the word is going forth, whether you realize it or not, you're being washed. Because you might say, well, how am I going to use that brother is preaching on at the pulpit and stuff? But he said that when the Holy Ghost, when the time comes, then the Holy Ghost will bring things to remembrance. That means that you have had to have heard them first so that they can come to your remembrance, right? So that's why it's so important to listen to the word, to hear the word, and to pay attention, amen, because you may not need it at that moment, but let me tell you, there will come a time when you might need that word. And if you are the walking kingdom of God, amen, then that you possess that whole word. Amen. There might be times where you might need that word. So what does the Bible say? He promised that the Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us unto all truth and will bring things to your remembrance. What a wonderful kingdom that is. It says the word began, it turns itself into power, making it say just exactly what it said. You stay with the word, there it is, see, and it makes it power. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is the currency of the kingdom. It's that power. If there is a currency, amen. And you know, and they call it currency, we call money currency, but really it's like energy, right? It's the word in the believer, amen, producing that dunamis power in your life. And then there's some of those scriptures there at the bottom that we just read, amen. You know, just kind of visualize it like that so that maybe it sticks an image in your head. When we're just showing quotes and scriptures and stuff, sometimes we don't get it, but this might help. All right. So here's what the kingdom of God is not. We just talked about what the kingdom of God is, but what is not the kingdom of God? Because throughout time, we have made it a lot of people have made it everything else. than what it really supposed to be. We've made it rules and regulations. We've made it dogmas and creeds, and we've made it legalism and different things, and thinking that if you're keeping a code of conduct, then you're part of the kingdom, because your sleeves don't get to a certain. I mean, you wear the same colored shirt all the time. You're not showing certain things. You know, your sleeves are a certain length, and all these different things that we think that if we follow those things, that's part of the kingdom, right? But Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat, and it's not drink. What is Paul saying? He's saying that it's not something physical. Because meat and drink is something that you eat, right? And he says, but righteousness, what is the kingdom? But it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. These are things that you really don't see unless they're manifested. So you see righteousness and you see peace in somebody's life, or joy in somebody's face, because the Holy Ghost is abiding in there, right? Producing that life, right? So faith without works is dead, and works without faith is also dead, right? Now, I love this quote from Brother Branham. He says, God's blood-bound promises makes us free from sin and shame and different from the rest of the world. Amen? You don't have to dress different. Anybody can dress different. Now, I want to wait just a moment. The Holy Ghost will make you dress different. Right? But the Holy Ghost won't give you that everybody's got to wear the same shirt, the same pants, the same color, the same color socks, the same color, everything, and then you're in the kingdom. No, that's not how it works. Because if it was that way, everybody here is backslid. Y'all ain't wearing what I'm wearing. Y'all didn't get the memo. Y'all didn't open your inbox and read your email and say you were supposed to wear a shirt this color and a tie, you know, for you, man. All right. But that's not what the kingdom of God is. But we have made it. A lot of people have made it out to be that way. He says you don't have to dress different. Anybody can dress different. You have to be on the inside different. Right? The life is on the inside. It's not dressing or wearing. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink or wearing of apparel, he said. But it's the long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, patience in the Holy Ghost. And I underline that because that's how you obtain those things. You want true patience, you want true long-suffering, you want true goodness and gentleness. Amen. You only can get it in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says here, then we're going to come over on the Armenian side. What did they get? Works. The Armenians, they practiced works. And that's the holiness groups. Works. Bless God, I'll let my hair grow out. The women. You know, and oh, praise God, I won't even wear a short sleeve shirt. If that's what you want to do, that's up to you. But that's your law. It's not my law. Right? The man will and so forth. That has nothing. Look what Brother Brandon says. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. That has nothing to do with the kingdom. So we already said what the kingdom was. Right? So when you bring legalism into the kingdom, then that has no part in the kingdom. No, sir, he said, you can let your hair grow long. You can wear dresses, whatever you want to, or you can do this, that, or the other, and it won't have nothing at all to do with it, he said. You're not saved because of your clothes. Because if you feel that way, if you feel that because I'm keeping this code of rules and conducts, amen, then you really never had an experience with God. Right? If so, God would just have made some patterns of such, right? Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You're saved because that God saved you by grace, he says. And you do those things just in appreciation. Right? Just because you want to please God and you want to say thank you, Lord. Not thank you to me or not thank you to the pastor or not thank you. Amen. You say thank you, Lord. You sacrificed yourself for me and now I can sacrifice myself in this way. And I know it's harder for our sisters. It's tougher. Right? But you have to realize and you have to understand and realize that you are representers of the church. Amen? As a woman in the Bible represents a church. Praise God. And so I know it's tougher for them, but us men, we need to make sure that we don't give them such a hard time. We stay balanced with them. Right? We make sure us as husbands get into their shoes, right? And understand where you know what they're coming from. And now, you know, obviously if something isn't modest, then you'd say, sweetheart, I don't want you to wear that. That doesn't look good. I don't want other men to be tempted by you, right? Or have their thoughts be scrambled when they're supposed to be listening to the Word of God, right? You come at it from that point because they may not be thinking that at the moment. They just are maybe just thinking this looks really good. But that's why wives, you're given to husbands, and then daughters, you're given a daddy. Because, you know, women sometimes are not looking at the viewpoint that the man might be looking at and vice versa. Right? And vice versa. So that is what gives a balance. Is to have four eyes looking at the matter. And I'm not talking about one person with glasses. I'm talking about two people. A man and a woman. Looking at the matter together. And then it brings balance. Right? How many children of ours, you know, we have impressed in their mind. And I was talking to somebody this week that way. They've impressed in their mind that that's what the message is all about. Rules and regulations and because somebody at church told me it's got to be this way and that's it. And there's no grace, no rule, or nor even no explanation. Right? That's what our young people want. They want some sort of explanation. Why do we do the things we do? Why do we believe the things we do? Why do we wear our hair long? Husbands, daddies, you need to know why. Because if you don't, then you need experience with God yourself. Right? You need the Holy Ghost. You need the kingdom yourself. If you can't explain to them by the word of God or at least by a quote why we believe what we believe. I'm so thankful for those who can. Praise the Lord. But our young people, they're not dumb. And they want explanations now. And you don't think that you're going to have children and they're not ever going to ask you questions. They're going to ask you questions. There's going to come a point in time where you're going to be asked questions and you're going to be like, why? And if you don't tell me why, then there's no need for me to do this. And what are you going to do then? Well, let me go. That ain't going to change it. It's just going to make it more rebellious. All right? So, and if they don't understand your explanation and they still go out and do what they were, then at that point, then the kingdom of God, Lord Jesus, you just get a hold of them then. I've done what I could, Lord. I did my best. I did what I could. You get a hold of them from that point, Lord. And you don't want the Lord to get a hold of you at that point. You know better. You know the word, young people. You know the word. All right. So he says, I don't even know why I got into that, but Jesus wouldn't have had to die if it was because of something physical that we had needed to do or some way, right? And you know I ain't going to get done with this, so we're going to continue it next time. And I promise we'll continue next time. All right, so this is in resume what is the kingdom is not and what the biblical kingdom is. Amen. Praise God. Now, You can also be to a point where you're not far from the kingdom. There was a man that came to Jesus one time in Mark chapter 12, and he was telling him with regards to the knowledge of the word that he had. I believe Jesus asked him, what are the two commandments? And he said, and he gave him the answer. And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and do unto others as unto others, or as unto yourself. And Jesus said, he said, you're not far from the kingdom. Now, that would be wonderful if the Lord could tell me that. But I want to be in the kingdom. I don't want to be just close to the kingdom. And I feel that many people are just this way. We're living in the hour where people are living this way right now. They are close enough to the kingdom, right? But see, being close to the kingdom does not mean that you are in the kingdom. You can read that there in Mark chapter 12. Jesus said to a scribe there that he was not far from the kingdom because of his knowledge of the word. Can you imagine the people in the days of Noah, after Noah was preaching that it was going to rain for 120 years? That was the most patient preacher that I have ever known, or I've ever read about. And nobody would hear his message except for his family, because they had to. They lived with him. And he was preaching over and over and over again. It was going to rain. And it was enough. Maybe some people got close to the ark. And they thought within themselves, well, if it does rain. See, they weren't even sure even of the way that they were living. That it was right. If this crazy old man is right, then I know that if I'm close enough, if I start seeing water coming from the sky, then I know I can just go in. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that live that way today. They live close enough, amen, to church, close enough to where if something bad happens, that I have the pastor there near me, or I have people of God there near me, amen, but they have the kingdom of God and you don't. They have it in them, but you don't have it inside of you. Because this is an individual walk with Christ. The problem was is that they were close enough, but God was the one who shut the door of that ark when it started raining, even before. Because 7 days before it started raining, God told Noah, get in the ark. And Noah still had to practice for 7 days, 120 years and 7 days. More patience. And they were there waiting. Where's this old man at? He ain't out here preaching to us. It's been 7 days. It's been 6 days. He ain't come out here talking about rain or anything like that. Oh, well, I'm going to still stick around just to see. And then one day, on the seventh day, that door shut. It shut in such a way and so quickly that they didn't even have time to even get in or even knock. And can you imagine the scratching and the clawing of that door, of Noah's door, on the outside? I would imagine it was impressive. Because when it was too late, then people believed. So see, we don't want to be make believers. This was a make believer. He knew the word of God by head knowledge, but didn't have the kingdom laying within. And Jesus said, you're not too far from the kingdom. All you got to do is get that knowledge and let it come down a little bit down to your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So how do we receive this kingdom? We'll end with this. And Jesus speaking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you are not even born again, there is not even a way for you to even, because that word see means to understand. if you don't have the Holy Ghost who feeds off the Word, how can you understand the Word then? Right? You cannot even understand the Word if the Holy Ghost is not even working or dealing in your life. Praise God. Brother Branham says, he says, you are born into the kingdom of God. How? By the Holy Ghost. Now remember that it's the Holy Ghost that produces in you that faith to believe. It's God's faith. Amen? Yeah, we have a certain amount of faith as human beings, right? Faith enough to go out there and crank our vehicles up. Faith enough to go and do different things. But it has to take God's faith to come into you to say, that is what I need. That is right. That's the Holy Ghost dealing in your life, right? Even in justification, that's the Holy Ghost dealing. It's not the indwelling, but it's still the Holy Ghost dealing in that. It's the Holy Ghost that convicts. Because Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except the Father draws him first. Right? So how? He said, by the Holy Ghost. That's God's witness. He gives witness by the Word of God that we've passed from death unto life because we are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I believe, yeah, so Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus answered, said, verily, verily, this is a continuation of verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Right? Amen. So when we say be born again, we're not saying anything. This was Jesus' first doctrine that he preached. The importance of being born again and to have the kingdom of God dwelling within you. All right. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it looks like here, we don't look at what we see. We look at what we do not see. Is that right? Anyhow, to see doesn't mean to look at. The word see means to understand, Brother Branham says. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and in spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God until he's born again. Right? So no matter how many charts you might show them or how many data points of the word or things like that, if they're not born again, they will never understand and see the kingdom of God. See? You have to accept it by faith. Right? You have to accept that kingdom by faith. And then when he comes into you, then you understand it. Right? Because it's the word feeding off the word. Right? That word is in you. Amen. Feeds off of the word. Now, and you've become the word. Right? So here's the unregenerate eye on the top left there. He's just looking at the physical thing. Right? And it just bounces right off. Right? But the man of faith, amen, he sees the word is calling to him, born of the Spirit. And when he's born of the Spirit, no matter if there's obstacles there, he's looking at the kingdom, right? Praise God. So to see does not mean to look at. The word see means to understand. Praise God. All right. So we're going to go ahead and finish it there. But and because I don't want to keep y'all too long, let's have the musicians come. We'll continue there next time. So the kingdom of God, amen, is very important for us to be the walking kingdom in this hour. Right? Kingdom. Praise the Lord. God is establishing his kingdom at this very moment. And you don't see it, but it's there. You might see the manifestations of it, for sure. And many times we have seen it. But I'm so thankful that kingdom is dwelling within a people. And eventually that kingdom will manifest physically, amen? Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, as we come before you, Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you once again for the opportunity to have read your word, to have looked at these things with regards to the kingdom. I pray, Heavenly Father, that it would that people would go back, maybe look back at some of these things and study them out themselves, that they may get revelation, Father, for themselves. Lord Jesus, may you just forgive us, Father, if we said anything that we shouldn't have, Lord, or thought anything that we shouldn't have, Father. Forgive us, Lord. You know that our intentions and our desires are true, are right, and we desire only the best for your people because that's what you desire for them, Lord. I pray that you would just have your way the rest of our service. And Father God, may you just bless your people as they will be heading back home here shortly. Watch over them, keep them, Father God. And may your Holy Spirit be continuing to call, to beckon, Lord, and to speak to us, Father God, even, Father God, on our ways home, Lord. We love you and we commit the rest of this time into your hands. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Sing song, brother.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee and just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.
Amen. How many enjoyed that tonight? Amen. 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 Appreciate that. Amen. Brother, you have anything? Amen. All hearts and minds clear tonight? Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see each one of you. See all your smiling faces. Hear all your voices. Amen. And just feast on the word tonight. Appreciate Brother Luis. So let's just all bow our heads as we dismiss in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Lord, for all your blessings on us. Lord, we thank you for the word we've heard tonight. Lord, as we just continue to walk with you one step at a time, Father, lead us right into that kingdom, all the way to that body change, Lord Jesus. Lord, you don't make it difficult. Lord, you show us by the light of your word the path that we should take. And Lord, just help us as Lord, to get ourselves out of the way and just follow you one step at a time. Lead us in thy kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, this earth, as it is in heaven. Lord, we thank you for our brother pouring his heart out tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, just thank you for the word, Lord. We just pray that you bless each one as we go home, Lord Jesus, and watch over us during the week. We pray for the services this weekend. Lord, we just pray that you touch Brother Wade. Lord, just anoint him and let us be here to receive what you have for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the ones that could make it in tonight, Lord Jesus, and those that can't, the ones that be listening in, Lord, we just pray that they be a blessing for them also, Lord Jesus. We commit ourselves into your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk.